Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're really getting into a text that, well, it tries to pin down the core engine of human progress, kind of boils it all down. You shared some key bits from Curious Minds, The Science of Progress.
That's right. And for you, the learner, our goal today is pretty focused. We're not looking at everything in the book, just extracting that central mechanism the authors believe drives human advancement. We want that shortcut, you know, the main insight behind their whole Science of Progress idea.
Okay, let's unpack this then, because the source jumps right in. The big reveal from Curious Minds seems to be this direct, fundamental link between curiosity and innovation. They're saying it's not just helpful, it's mandatory. Is that right?
Absolutely. It's like the operating system for their whole theory. The book basically gives us an equation. Real sustained progress equals curiosity applied directly to innovation. Take one away and, well, the system just doesn't work, according to them.
Okay, hang on a second. Because, you know, as someone who looks at history, that feels a bit counterintuitive sometimes. I mean, think about the Industrial Revolution or wartime tech leaps. The old saying is, necessity is the mother of invention, right? Or maybe it's just throwing massive resources at a problem. So why does this source push curiosity to the front like that instead of, say, need or money?
That's exactly the point they try to tackle. They argue that necessity and resources, they're accelerators. They speed things up. But they don't start the process. Necessity makes you fix a problem you already know you have, maybe faster. Curiosity, though, that's what makes you question why it's a problem in the first place. Or realize the way everyone else is doing it is fundamentally broken.
Okay. So they're making a distinction about the kind of curiosity here. It's not just like wondering about something casually.
Exactly right. The source makes a really sharp distinction between just passive interest, you know, the kind you satisfy with a quick web search, and what we could maybe call applied inquiry or systemic curiosity. This is the deep stuff, the active hunt for knowledge that just refuses to accept the status quo. It's wanting to know not just what works, but why it works that way. And crucially, what if the rules could be different?
So if we're breaking this down for the listener, curiosity is the internal drive. It's the engine asking the tough, maybe even the impossible question.
But precisely. It's the mental setup that lets you spot a problem where everyone else just sees normal life. Mm-hmm. And innovation, in this view, that's the external result. It's the practical outcome, the new method, the actual thing that comes about only because that deep question got asked first. Cause and effect. And the cause has to come first.
What's fascinating here, then, is the idea that real breakthrough progress, the kind that actually shifts how society works, absolutely requires this internal state first.
Yeah.
It sort of suggests you could dump endless cash into a project, but if nobody's genuinely curious enough to poke at the basic assumptions, you'll just get slightly better versions of what you already have.
That's the absolute core of their science of progress. It implies that if you're only reacting to necessity, market demands, what competitors are doing, your innovations will always be, well, reactive, iterative. But if you start from that place of deep curiosity, that's when you get the proactive, the disruptive, the truly new stuff. The source basically says curiosity is what separates just improving the wheel from inventing, I don't know, a hovercraft.
That actually makes a lot of sense. If you're not curious about why a wheel even needs to be round in the first place, you'd never invent something like a tank track.
Exactly. And it's not just a one-off thing. The text connects this to the bigger picture, like a continuous cycle.
Right. That's where it gets maybe more complex than just defining terms. How does Curious Minds talk about keeping this progress going, the sustainability of it all?
They frame it as this vital, self-powering feedback loop. Think about it. Innovation, naturally, it solves one problem. But in doing so, it almost always opens up a whole new frontier of things we don't know. Every solution creates new gaps, new problems, new challenges we couldn't even see before.
Okay, I think I get it. So the car solved the horse and buggy problem, but then boom, traffic jams, pollution, global supply chains, which then need completely new innovations to manage those problems.
Precisely, that cycle. Curiosity fuels innovation. Innovation reveals new knowledge gaps. Those gaps spark even deeper curiosity. That's the engine, the repeatable science of progress. It's a mechanism that sort of forces ongoing thinking. It prevents us from just getting comfortable. And the book argues pretty strongly that societies that don't actively encourage that kind of systemic curiosity, they eventually just plateau, they stagnate.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for you, the learner, especially if you're in a role where you're trying to lead or spark innovation. If this whole engine runs on this loop of applied inquiry, how does the source say we actually grow that? How do we cultivate it?
Well, the book really hammers on creating environments where asking the question is rewarded, maybe even more than finding a quick solution. They point out that, you know, a lot of places, companies, universities, they're very focused on innovation outcomes, measuring results, efficiency, profit, but they often fail to measure or, frankly, even tolerate the willingness to ask questions that might slow things down for a bit, questions that challenge the way things are done.
So if I'm trying to innovate, I shouldn't just be asking, how do we make this faster or cheaper? Right. I should also be asking, hold on, why are we even doing it this way? Or what's the big assumption we're all making here that might actually be wrong?
Exactly that. The authors bring up examples, you know, big historical breakthroughs, penicillin, early computing. Often, the person driving it wasn't primarily motivated by a clear market need or some government project. It was more like an internal obsession, an obsession to figure out something inconsistent or fix something broken that everyone else was just, well, ignoring. That obsession is the systemic curiosity they're talking about.
It really shifts the focus, doesn't it? Instead of just optimizing the process of innovation, the tools, the funding, we need to think about optimizing the conditions for curiosity, the psychological safety, the environment that lets those deep questions actually surface and be explored.
Yes. The text basically argues that the most critical investment for an individual or a company or even a society isn't necessarily just the R&D budget. It's the investment in time and space for kind of free-range questioning, unburdened inquiry. Curiosity, in their view, it's actually quite fragile. It gets easily squashed by the pressure for immediate answers, immediate results. It needs deliberate nurturing.
Okay, so let's try and synthesize this. We've covered a lot, but it's quite focused. The core knowledge we're taking from Curious Minds, the science of progress, is that human advancement isn't just random luck or chaos. It's more like a predictable, almost scientific, result of a specific feedback loop. And that loop absolutely starts with deliberately fostering this deep, proactive, systemic curiosity. That's the non-negotiable first step for any truly disruptive innovation.
It's a very powerful, quite singular argument, really. It forces us to rethink what actually drives the whole progress train.
A fascinating deep dive into what might be the true mechanism of how we advance. So our final key takeaway here is that the source defines curiosity and innovation not merely as connected ideas, but as two absolutely inseparable parts, mandatory phases of a cycle that is progress itself.
Right. And that leaves us with a final thought to chew on, based purely on how intensely the source focuses on this necessary link. If this whole progress mechanism really depends entirely on that internal state of inquiry, then consider this. What happens in societies or organizations that actively, maybe even unintentionally, stifle that? Places that punish failure, discourage uncomfortable questions, or shut down challenges to the status quo, they might not just be slowing down innovation in one little area.
Right.
They might be actively disabling the entire cycle, locking themselves into a kind of permanent standstill. What are the consequences when the basic human drive to ask why is systematically suppressed?